Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, April 8th, 2019, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 18, the last paragraph on the page. Today's readers are Liat T.D. on the 12 Steps, Nan K. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Susan H., Jackie H., and Kathleen O. Our share IDs for yesterday, Sunday, April 7th, a special edition, is 12,753. That's 12753. And for this morning's April 8th, 7 a.m. meeting, the share ID is 12,754 or 12754. And our newcomer greeter today will be Melanie C. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Liat T.D. to read the 12 steps.
Yes, Kathy, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Good. Okay. Good morning. Liat T.D., recovered compulsive eater from California. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass. Have a great meeting.
Thank you, Liat T.D. Nan K., would you please read the 12 traditions?
Hi, I'm Nan K. from Northern Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA loan to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and trustees divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities in our past.
Thank you, Nan, for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share approximately to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study on the bottom of page 18, the last paragraph, and I will ask Susan H. to get us started.
Hi, this is Susan H. in Ohio. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, and I'm grateful to be here. That the man who is making the approach has had the same difficulty, that he obviously knows what he is talking about, that his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect that he is a man with a real answer, that he has no attitude of holier than thou, nothing whatever except the sincere desire to be helpful, that there are no fees to pay, no axes to grind, no people to please, no lectures to be endured. These are the conditions we have found most effective. After such an approach, many take up their beds and walk again. No people to please and no lectures to be endured really kind of stood out to me. Being a people pleaser all my life, it was hard to let that go, and I'm still working on it. I fall into it on a very regular basis, but the deeper I get into our program, the more I rely on a higher power to guide me, the more I can let go of that people-pleasing that keeps me from being of maximum service to my higher power and to others. This is a paragraph that is one terribly long sentence. It has volumes in it, but no people to please really stood out to me, because people pleasing has been my life And I'm so happy that it doesn't, that's not who I am. That's not who I am. And who I am is someone that my higher power loves unconditionally. And I pray to see myself as my higher power does. Grateful to be here. And I hope that every day I just get deeper into this program. I love the fact that more is revealed every day. And I will pass.
Thank you very much, Susan H. Okay, I'd like to take names of people who would like to share on this paragraph.
Donna B.
Karen W.
Is that Karen?
Uh-huh, Karen W.
Karen W. Okay, so I have Donna B. and Karen W. Who else?
Kathy G.
Kathy G.
Clara G.
Clara G.
Kathleen O.
Des M.
Kathleen O. And who was that with M at the end?
Des, D-E-Z, Des M.
Okay, Des M. Thank you. We'll stop there. And we have Donna B., Karen W., Kathy G., Tara G., Kathleen O., and Des M. Please go ahead, Donna.
Hi, this is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver, Colorado. But the man who is making the approach has had the same difficulty, that he obviously knows what he's talking about. That to me has been a really critical aspect of my recovery. When I approached working through the steps this time around, I prayed, and sometimes I wonder if my prayer sort of combusted this woman into reality. But I was really looking for someone who was about my age, who grew up in a dysfunctional home, who had children, and whose parents were still alive. Despite working through the steps many times, I was unable to really come to a position of peace in my relationship with my parents. And many people that I met in the program were able to say, oh, yes, I'm in a much better place with my parents. And when I asked, how do you manage your day-to-day relationship with them, many responded that their parents were dead. So I was really looking for someone who had living parents. And when I came into contact with this woman who is my sponsor today, my whole program transformed because I saw in her the same difficulties that I have experienced in my life. And I witnessed, even as we were working together, God working in her life and continuing to change her. She would often say to me, this disease runs really deep in me, and this disease runs really deep in you. And there is something magical that happens when two compulsive overeaters who've had the same experience in the past go through the book together, and the sponsor who does have more experience or is further along in the process says, yeah, I've been there, but this is where I am today. And having her as a living, breathing witness and attestation of this program of recovery really inspires me to continue moving forward. And when she makes a suggestion to me, it's not an abstract suggestion. It's something that she has done and that has changed her life. And there is nothing more that I want to do and adhere to that suggestion because I believe entirely in its ability to work in my life. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Donna B. Karen W., please share with us.
Hi, this is Karen, compulsive overeater in Austin, Texas. And this is a powerful paragraph. And I know, speaking for myself, at this point in my life, I am turned off pretty easily by people, arrogant people or holier than thou people or those kinds of things. And so for me to connect with somebody, it has to be genuine and raw and a real connection on an equal ground and an equal level. You know, there's not one that's better than the other. And that's how I like to sponsor people as well. Yeah, I'm in some other programs that I sponsor people, but it's equal footing. And I love the last sentence, you know, about taking up your beds and walk again. And it, I feel like when I'm in the food, I'm like a spiritually walking dead person. And so this sentence to me is like you come back to life. You actually feel life, you embrace life, the ups, the downs, the ebbs, the flows, and kind of jump on the train of life instead of hiding, staying in bed, eating, watching TV, and trying to tune it out. Instead, you become a part of the mainstream. You know, where can I be helpful? Where can I get involved? But I've done a lot of work in my life, spiritual work in my life, and the 12-step program I think is so beautiful because there's no judgment. You know, you can crawl into the rooms, literally broken in half, and someone's going to be there to pick you up. You know, and it's not about you need to do this and you need to do that and you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have do this. It's not about all that, you know. For me, I'm in some other programs to help me deal with my house of origin and in another program that helps me to have healthy boundaries and things like that in relationships with people. And the combination of all those works really well for me. And I'm very grateful. I just that's really all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen W. Kathy G., please share with us.
Thanks, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. It's Kathy G., recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois, and welcome to the newcomer today. When I came into a vision for you in the spring of 17, I came on the line because I was looking for some answers, some real answers, as this paragraph says. And what I was really looking for an answer to was, why was my life still so unmanageable in certain areas? And why could I not stay stopped with certain behaviors around food? And I found a real answer. I found a real answer on the line. And the answer is not about me, clearly. The answer is about this program, and I heard the real answer, as it says in the line, because you knew what you were talking about. I could tell there was something different about you, and you had an answer that I wanted, and I was so attracted to it that I was actually willing to do what you told me to do, and so grateful for that, grateful for a sponsor that was there to help me. and not to be holier than thou, but to share her experience, strength, and hope with me. And now I get to do the same thing with others, which is the most amazing thing, because we get an answer. I get to have a real life because I have a real answer. And even after having a weekend, like really intense, painful weekend, staying at the memorial service of a very dear, dear family friend that I've known since I was in junior high, and just had a really intense dinner with my sister and my father last night, and he just kind of unloaded some things that were just mind-boggling. And I was able to just sit there and listen and pray internally and be quiet and not respond, and to tell him that I was not going to be able to respond until I just had some time to process. And what a difference that is. And to wake up and not even have to think about using food as my solution, because I have the answer today. So just so grateful for the continued work, for the book, and for all of you on the line. So thanks for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. Tara G., please go ahead.
Hi, I am Clara G. from Wisconsin.
Thank you, Clara.
Clara.
Go ahead, Clara.
Thank you. You know, when I did my inventory for step four, I had a millions of resentment for people criticizing me. And also still in step 10 when I do that. But they all start with my defect of character of being a people pleaser. I want everybody to approve of me so that I can think that I have a value and that I am worth something. But that people pleasing is my defect, you know, that was creating those resentment. When I learned that I needed it to put my opinion in value, my opinion. Like if I would make like a painting, you know, I would have like everybody tell me, is it good, is it not good? And I forgot to ask my own self, you know, do I think the painting is good or not? And that opinion was the most important opinion that I needed to listen to. And also the opinion that I need to listen to is what I think that God is thinking when I do things, you know, am I pleasing him or not? And that, I don't know, is what came to me when we were reading about this, that letting go of that being a people pleasing has helped me have much better relationships that are healthier, where I don't have to depend on other people to think that I am worth, that my worth comes from my own opinion and from the opinion that I think that God has about me in what I do. So with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Clara G. Kathleen O., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. And let's see, that his whole deportment shouts at the new prospect that he is a man with a real answer. And I, you know, the he's and the man and all that always jumps out at me, because I'm sure Bill W. in his wildest dreams never thought this book and this message would help so many thousands of compulsive overeaters and so many of them women. But, you know, the real answer to the problem is a spiritual experience. And this is a program of attraction rather than promotion. When I went into my first live meeting, there was a bunch of women in there with in normal sized bodies. And I thought, I think I'm in the wrong place. And they would share, you know, they would stand up and share how, I mean, they had the same behaviors around food that I did. And I thought, gosh, you know, how can this be? And it was so great because nobody tried to ask me for money or sign any contracts. And it was, you know, quite the opposite. I'm like, you know, where do I sign up? Tell me how to do this, you know? And So, you know, the real answer to the problem is a spiritual experience, and it's so clearly articulated. You know, we carry the message to the newcomer who is suffering, and we generally want to help another person in a kind, gentle way. And I know that's how the approach was to me, and it was so, it was so refreshing and gave me so much hope. You know, we're not trying to grind any axes or trying to please anyone. We want to help another suffer dig out of this horrible hole. And after such approach, many may take up their beds and walk again. So I look at that as, you know, everyone can be recovered from this disease. And many of us do. It's so different than the hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars I paid. So many times I did the pay and weigh, you know, way of trying to lose weight. I mean, this is just so wonderful. And so all we do is we share our experience with another, and you know, we're uniquely helpful to other compulsive overeaters because our story is usually their story, and we understand the pain and suffering of this disease, and you know, we can relate, and that's, you know, very attractive to people. And I love the line that none of us makes a sole vocation of this work. You know, in other words, we do keep our day jobs. So there's no greater gift than to be able to share this common solution. And there is a way to solve our problem with food and share the message of the allergy of the body, the obsession of the mind, and recovery through the 12 steps. And it really is a gift, and it works. And, you know, if you're new, the solution is here. It's the only solution that I have found that works long term. And you know, when we help others in return, we're actually helping ourselves. So I really love it when I get to work with someone who's willing to go to any lengths and take action. It's really a great feeling to see somebody transform both physically and emotionally. It's really the best. So, and you know, and I've had sponsees start out strong and then they kind of leave, and they were helping me in the meantime, so it's all good. And thank you, Kathy. I pass.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Des M., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Des M., recovered from Long Beach, California. Thank you so much for leading the meeting, Kathy. I'm super grateful to hear what I heard this morning. I really, what popped out at me was a sincere desire to be helpful, and just how much that one line has changed for me through going through the steps, through coming to vision, through working with my sponsor, you know, walking through uncomfortability, seeing what she had and wanting it, but not wanting to do all the work all the time, but yet, you know, reaching out to my higher power to get recovered and do the steps. And before I came into program, I really, really believed, like, as just a coping mechanism through life, that my sincere desire to be helpful was just to control people, places, and things. And that's just how I knew to do, you know, like, get straight A's, you look good, you're being helpful to the world, like, you know, help your family, they're not doing well. And it just all looked like me, you know, throwing more and more in between me and my higher power, because I was becoming my higher power. And thank God, you know, I've found a solution in this book. And like, the solution, like I've heard, isn't to be a people pleaser. It's to be, you know, daily to do the work that we do, work these steps, become humble, remain teachable, and just not stay in the disease. And I just have to say, like, it's just such a miracle for me. Before I got recovered and worked the steps thoroughly, you know, with entire abstinence, I would go for about a month and like think I was trusting my higher power. And then I'd seek into morbid reflection and depression, and I'd be alone. And last week I had about like literally like 35 minutes of morbid reflection, and I got to go on a break from work and make an outreach call. A fellow picked up. She was actually in Hawaii. And she still picked up. We had a 10-minute conversation. I got to express my fears. People-pleasing was in that. You know, I got to turn it around, be of service to someone else. And, like, you know, I have these amazing women in my life that I don't show up for perfectly, but I'm doing the best I can to carry the message. And I've been told by my sponsor and by my higher power, like, that's enough. So I'm learning how to do that through all of you. And so grateful to be here. I hope everyone has a blessed Monday. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much for your share, Des. Okay, I'd love to take some more names. Who would like to share?
This is Jackie H. I'll share.
Jackie H.
Freya H.
Freya
Anna
H. I'm sorry, what was that after Freya H?
Anna A.
Anna A.
Deborah
Cameron C.
Severin?
Deborah G.
Oh, Deborah G. Sorry, Deborah. Deborah G. And I think there was one more.
Karen C.
Karen C. Okay, let's take those and we'll see if we have more time after that. Jackie H., please go ahead.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for your service. Thank you, everybody, for being on the line. Wonderful shares this morning. And the first thing, you know, the first, very first thing that came to me when she was reading was the fact that there's somebody else that has the same spiritual malady that I do. And that, and you know, my eating, my compulsive overeating, my eating disorder, whatever I called it back then, just carried with it so very much shame. It was, I hid it from myself. I hid it from everybody. I came from another program. I came from AA, and for some reason, I lived that addiction out loud, and I didn't have the shame around it, but the food, I did. And so to talk about it openly and sincerely and truthfully with somebody, it didn't happen. And I'm 71 years old, and so it didn't happen for a long, long time. And when I picked up the telephone and made this call in July of this year, I could not believe what I was hearing. People saying they were recovered, saying they were neutral with food, saying all of the things that I felt about it. And just the attraction. I could not put the phone down. I was on this line every single day. And I got abstinent. I was so grateful that there was a solution. I got a sponsor. And that little 12-year-old girl in me that first started using food, excuse me, to solve her problems, and to soothe herself is healing from the inside out. And even though there's a lot of emotion right now, it's the kind of emotion that carries with it so much gratitude. Because today, I am a recovered woman, and I get to act like it. I get to act like a grown-up. I have things come my way. I get to pause, I get to call another fellow, I get to call my sponsor, I get to put it on paper and do a 10th step. Actually, usually my 10th step has to start with the first step because I'm usually the reason I have one is because my life is unmanageable for some reason or another. And then I get to walk through it and come out the other end. Sometimes it's messy, I have to say that. It's not always just a graceful little flight. Sometimes it is messy, but I still get to keep my mouth shut and I don't have to cause more harm like I used to. I get to do those things that the big book says and that sets a design for living. And I'll wrap up. The most important of all of it is I have finally, in my life, I have a connection with my higher power that I choose to call God that is with me 24/7, and I am safe, healed, and protected, and I am grateful for that. Thank you all, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. Freya H., please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Freya H., compulsive eater bulimic in Colorado. I love hearing the shares, and what's coming to mind is our 11th tradition, which is about attraction rather than promotion. And my margin note by this paragraph is step 12 directions, that, you know, this description of, you know, a man with a real answer, no attitude of holier than thou, nothing except a sincere desire to be helpful, etc. These are my directions for, you know, not just dealing with sponsees, but for meeting newcomers. And I have had the privilege more than once of being the contact person for a face-to-face meeting. And so I, you know, in that role, I tend to get a lot of calls from people who are curious about the meeting and maybe have no experience with 12-step at all. And they'll ask me questions like, wait, is this, you know, the meetings sometimes when they're held at a church, they'll think, oh, is this meeting affiliated with the church? Or, you know, I'm reminded of, wow, I take all this stuff for granted and other people don't even know this stuff exists. So I do my best to try to meet these conditions and to you know, convey what it is that we offer and what it is that we are not. And I know for me that I was only ready to hear certain things at a certain time. So I know that they're not always going to, not always going to get it, but I just try to do my best to convey that. And I'm also reminded reading this paragraph about the relief of coming into the rooms and hearing people share my story and being able to share my own story and having this amazing experience of, oh my goodness, these people get it. They get me. And I found that particularly powerful when I hear people sharing about, you know, the different manifestations of this disease, not just the overeating piece, because for me it showed up in a lot of different ways, you know, body obsession and food restriction and exercise obsession, and, you know, all of the other mental obsessions that are around the food, but they don't, for me, it didn't manifest in always in overeating or, you know, weight gain, but it was still there, absolutely. So I'm grateful to know that I absolutely belong here and to have these wonderful directions and also just the fact that this is so practical. It's saying that this is what we found to be most effective. It's not saying you have to do it this way, this is the only way. It's just saying, hey, we found that this is what works. And from that perspective, it makes a lot of sense. Why would I try to do it a different way? Why would I try to reinvent the wheel? So thank you for the opportunity to share. I will pass.
Thank you very much, Freya H. Anna A., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. I really love the fact about how this person came into his life. And it was just being present and very matter of fact that having the experience and that feeling of when I went to my first face-to-face meeting, you know, it was just that warm feeling you get, and people were sharing their stories, and it's like, wow, you do that too? You do that as well? And it was like they were appreciating me for me, not, you know, not that I had to do anything. And for my people-pleasing component, that was really a valuable lesson to learn. I remember a therapist telling me, you don't have to do all this stuff for people. People just want to be around you just to be around you. And I never got that concept until I just read this passage and was listening to others share. And it was like, wow, that is so true. I've learned that through, you know, coming to these rooms, and which is very important. And to do my work and to, you know, and to get, you know, healthy and be healthy and be there for others and in a good way, in a way that, you know, where I'm staying in my lane. I'm not overdoing or over people pleasing. If somebody wants it, I will give it. And that's a great lesson to learn as well. And with that, I'll pass. And thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Anna A. Deborah G., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, and I'm a compulsive overeater. And thank you, Kathy, for your service and everyone else for your service and all those that have shared. And welcome to the newcomer. You never have to live like you're living anymore. And that's how I feel. I'm so grateful for this program that I can remember, too, going into the program when I really was willing and ready for the program. Now, I've been in meetings and, you know, just walked through and kind of just doing what I could. And then when I finally surrendered, I could actually hear people and their experience, strength and hope. And that I wasn't alone. And I heard a solution. I finally heard a solution. And that they weren't coming from a better than me place. They were coming from a place that their experience was the same as mine and offering a solution and hearing their lives change and hearing the hope and the miracles, you know, and also doing that with people that I work with. All I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope. And there are times, though, you know, when I'm in ego, on both ends, you know, receiving and giving. When I'm in ego, I am in that holier than thou, or I know it all, or, you know, if this disease just, you know, rears its ugly head sometimes. And I'm just so grateful that I keep coming back, I keep doing the meetings, I keep using the tools to get me through on the other side of that. And I love because what I heard, you know, in the meetings, there was a new way of living, a new way of living in abstinence and a new way of living my life. You know, I had to change my perception a lot of things and remembering I can just have my feelings and, you know, learning what I can do so I don't go to the food. And I love, too, about that people-pleasing because I always wanted to fit in and be part of, and most of all, be loved, be liked and be loved. And in this program, I don't have to people please to do that. And I can carry what I do in this program out into the world with others. You know, I can deflate that ego and be there for other people and have compassion. And working with a sponsee today that have the willingness talk with her and valuing me and valuing herself and being willing to do what it takes. And we're going here, we're going from now. We're going to go on, move on from now and see how that experience is. And I'm so grateful to be here and thank you all. Bye.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. And Karen C., please share with us.
Hi, this is Karen C. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Hi, I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. And I just want to say that I have been looking for peace along with weight loss for years. And I joined OA a year and a half ago and found both those things. But the funny thing is, I went to a pay-in way for years and years. At one point, I got to my goal, and I actually said to the leader, all right, I'm at my goal weight, and now I want peace. And he looked at me like I had two heads. What are you talking about? They just didn't get me. So I am convinced that divine intervention through my sister brought me to OA. I had no idea I was going to stay at this program forever. And I just thought, I'll go up and down and up and down. That'll be my life. I walked into these rooms. People were me. They got me. I could say the craziest things about how I thought about my food, about my body, about resentments and angers that I've had for years that I couldn't let go. They got it. They didn't judge me. they just got it. So when I sponsor now, and I do sponsor because I love it, I try to show people that I am them. Without this program, I would still be hanging on to old resentments. I wouldn't have peace. I don't always have peace now, but for the most part, I do. And when I don't, I have the steps to get me back. And I'm just so grateful for all of this. And it all started with walking into a meeting and being accepted. And I just took a deep breath like, oh, I'm home. This is it. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Karen C. We have time for one and maybe two shares. Who would like to share?
This is Kristen.
Okay.
Kristen D.
Kristen, what's the last initial?
Judith
R. I'm sorry, Kristen, what is your last initial?
It's D as in David.
D. Okay, was one other person?
Judith R.
Judith R. Okay, great. I'm going to ask each of you to take 2 minutes. Kristen, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Kristen. I just wanted to say hello. I just found out about a vision for you when I was at an OA convention this weekend, and I have just given my life to this 12-step program. I've been involved in OA. It's just been my lifeblood. I'm 56 years old, and I've had some wonderful recovery, both spiritually and physically, and I've been, you know, off doing a lot of more spiritual programs, and hadn't been so much in OA because of logistics and not a lot of meetings and things. And anyways, I've been recently diagnosed, not recently, the last 5 years of neuromuscular disease, and it's just kicking my ass. And I am really, really getting triggered because of all the changes in my body and all the things that have brought into my life in recovery that have fed my soul, that are being taken away, and feeling powerless, and it's just bringing up so much stuff, and food is just in my face again. And I, you know, that little voice in my head, you know, because all these spiritual people, they're lovely people, but they don't get me with the food. And I just knew I needed to get back to these rooms. And I didn't get out much because I don't drive much, and I really need support. And I'm Kristen D. I live in Missouri. I'm open to any phone calls that anybody would like to call me. Because I really, really, I know this program. I love it. It's in my heart. But I'm really needing some support right now. And I'm just so grateful for all of you. I'm so grateful that we show up for each other. And I'm just sending love out to all of you. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Kristen D. And please stay on a few more minutes. You'll have an opportunity to leave your phone number so we can.
Okay.
Thank you. Please share for 2 minutes. You're our last share today.
Thank you so much, Kathy. Judith R. in Vermont recovered gratefully. Kristen, welcome. When I looked at the holier than thou, I thought, thank God for the 10th step, because I still struggle with and suffer from holier than thou, even though, thank God, most of the time in OA, we don't, at meetings, at face-to-face meetings, well, there are and there aren't holier-than-thou folks among us, and I am unfortunately one of them, and with the 10th and 11th steps are the only thing that can get me out of that place of, oh, I know so much better than you do. And I can get into vision pride and stuff. And the other day I was doing an 11th step, and I wrote, holier than thou, nicer to poor people than thou, nicer to, I can't remember, but just the pride that was coming up in me. And I just wish I could shout from the rooftops, dear world, if you do 10 steps, you can stop being a jerk. it's so refreshing. And, you know, 40 years into this program, 30 years abstinent, but only 2 years recovered, because I didn't get it. I didn't get the steps. Thank God, God freed me from the food years ago, but I was not freed from my character defects. So the holier than thou has got to go, and because of God, it's going. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Judith R. And thank you, everyone, who joined us today. It really was a special meeting. We're going to close now with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jackie H., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Absolutely. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.